late with Dougie. Waking up 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 late with Dougie.
Way to start the show, right, Jay?
What's up?
We were going to go Facebook Live. We apologize to Facebook Live, but for some reason, I tried to pull up my Facebook Live on my desktop computer, and you witnessed this. Like, if I was alone, it would be like, all right, this is really... So I went on, and it didn't let me do the Facebook Live. It rejected my request.
Now you're getting hacked.
You think? I mean, you're a young guy. You should know technology shit better than I do.
That's a weird stereotype.
Being young and smart.
Yo, you're young. You should know this. Am I getting hacked? I think that's how I just...
Yeah.
Maybe we should just do that to all elderly people.
But you saw that, right? I mean, it's
I saw it.
And then it asked me for a new password, which I thought was weird. You know what I mean? That's double identification. That's double... Like, you mean...
Did you check the top browser? Did you actually make sure you were on Facebook? And not another link.
I don't want to go back. I don't even want to touch this computer right now. It's going to give me COVID. Anyway, so again, we're going to be on Facebook Live. But you know what? Fuck, I've been in so much. I'm fat. Maybe I don't want to be on camera right now.
Yeah, man, I look amazing. I actually look the best I've looked in years. And it's unfortunate you guys aren't able to see this.
Yeah, we let you down. well, good for you there, young and sprout. You know what I mean? Good for you. I mean, yeah, how old are you?
33.
All right. Well, don't, fuck, I'm 53. So, but yeah, man, you gotta be, listen, you gotta be, I'm trying to, we, the wife and I go for walks and stuff and, we try to do things, but God almighty, you know, you're home. I mean, you can't really, you know, nothing, you know.
Are they opening gyms back up soon?
Oh, you know.
Is that a thing?
There's the funny thing is there's some people out there that are listening going, I can't believe oh my God, who's going to go to a gym?
People are gonna go, man.
Yeah,
there'll be some people that go.
There's
some people that don't care about this at all.
And here's the thing: people are so concerned with getting mad at people that aren't that concerned.
Yeah,
That's them. That the fuck can do what they want. You know, as long as they're not walking around sneezing, burping, and bellowing all over the place.
True.
I don't care what the fuck somebody thinks. And oh, there we go.
And you're
going to
keep
time.
Your distance.
How far are we in this? God, 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
And I already had.
you dropped.
I already dropped the F bomb. All right. I'm trying to be clean. Just trying to. I'm trying. I'm gonna. You know. You can do whatever you want. I mean, if you want to try to follow
I'm
suit.
Typically.
All right, you're not. Yeah. You're not.
Typically and normal. I'm around a lot of. You know, a lot of male figures a lot in the industry that I'm in. And, you know, the occasional swear word gets tossed around.
Yeah, so that's a good way to blame it. Like, because if that's your atmosphere, you're around it.
Yeah, I learned to speak the dialect, you know?
Yeah. That was always a problem when I'd cross over from my crazy world to my, my financial...
To your professional.
My financial professional world. And next thing you know, I'm starting to tell stories like, maybe this isn't a good idea to tell this story.
While you're in the middle of it.
In front of these people. Yeah. Oh, man. So,
So you're telling me earlier you got this audition.
Yeah. You know, because we were talking about, like, how we're dealing with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's part of me that's getting used to it.
I love it.
You know, I'm getting used to the walks. I kind of like the fact that we're talking about,
You're developing a new routine, man.
Yeah, I was supposed to be in Tulsa or Oklahoma. I was supposed to be in Little Rock. No, nope.
You're supposed to be all over the country.
Colorado Springs, none of it. But there's this part of me, it's like, to just be here. And my dog, God bless him, he's getting the most attention. He's like,
he loves it.
I'm like a father who's home, and the kid's like, "Daddy, you're here." You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it. You know,
yeah, I know what it is like to have a father that's home.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I know what that's like,
dude. No, you're fucking with me. Second, you're messing with me, right?
I am. Yeah? No, I definitely know.
You had a dad. You had a pops.
Yeah, my dad was home.
All right, good.
He stayed around.
Yeah, good. You know, you need that. God, and not only that, some people, parents are so bad, you need four of them.
Yeah.
You need the grandparents to step in and go, "What's wrong with you?" And, you know, tell the boy, you know, like, my parents didn't know that. My parents had no, my parents weren't, you know, my mother would scream if he came home late, you know, and my dad would always say things like, "Let me look at your eyes." "Let me look at your eyes. Look at your eyes."
Did you know what he was doing?
Well, I was the youngest of four boys. So my brothers would come home, and the big mistake they'd make is coming home and going to the kitchen and open the fridge.
that'd get attention.
Yeah, and then, of course, my dad would get off the recliner, and I'd be on the couch going, "Oh, here it comes." And, you know, my dad would walk, and he'd turn the kitchen light on, and then my brother would be sticking his head in the refrigerator. You know, like, "What's up?" And he's like, And then I'd watch the reaction. All my brothers were bad. They're horrible liars. You know what I mean? They weren't like, what?
Were they,
you know,
drinking or were they smoking?
Probably smoking.
Okay. Yeah. They didn't have Visine back there, Clear Eyes?
Listen, they didn't bother. They never learned.
The consequences weren't that bad in your household, huh?
Well, it was like an enjoyable argument. You know, it was like if this would happen every once in a while, I'd just sit there and take it in. You know, like that gif when you're on Facebook and you put Michael Jackson eating popcorn.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know what I mean? So I would take it in, like, why do you always got to look at my eyes? And I would sit there and go, "Guys, you're stoned." You know? And you learn, you know? And I learned. I got Visine.
Yeah. You didn't want to have those arguments.
I broke my dad's, you know, my dad would, you flash it forward 10 years or whatever it was. Uh-huh. And I'd be on, you know, my dad get out of the couch and go, what's wrong with Dougie? Let me turn the light. I knew the routine. He turned the light on. Here it comes. I got to be cool. Don't panic. Don't get defensive. Handle it well. I can't believe there's Reese's in the fridge. My mom used to have Reese's and like Kit Kat
bar. Oh,
yeah, dude. And you know what I mean? I'd be like, "Which one am I going to eat?" And I'm like, "Don't get pressed. I've seen this before. This isn't my first rodeo." And then, you know, of course, and then dad walk up and, "Hey, say what's up." He goes, "What are you doing?" "I was hanging out with my friend." Your friend, which friend? Because I had different friends in high school. I had jock friends. And
so
he
knew which friends you
were.
Well,
that's why he would ask. He was setting the pace. You know, like, what friend, like my soccer friends or my Led Zeppelin friends? That was like the category at the time.
You got two sets of friends.
Yeah.
So none of your soccer friends like Led Zeppelin.
No, they did, but it wasn't like the biggest part of our relationship. Okay. You know what I mean? We played soccer. And then there was, of course, there was the Rush friends. which friends? Your friend with the long hair? You know?
Yeah. The hippie friends?
Your friend with the long hair?
Where's the... The bandana,
yeah,
color coded.
Yeah, his mom looks like a hooker.
Yeah, man, a lot.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It was that question, but and then of course he'd be staring at my eyes, and you know, even as a young lad, you'd have to develop that discipline of confidence.
That
otherwise,
stoicness.
You have to be stoic.
Not, it doesn't.
You
it doesn't
can't
matter.
If you know that you've got it figured. You've got to have it figured.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, looked into your eyes, and you're sitting there with that Visine in your pocket. You know, this thing better work. And it worked. But, you know, they're still pressed. Yeah, you know, they're still pressed. Yeah. I'm like, "Dad, I'm just, you know, I'm cool." But then, in all due fairness, I was not a pot smoking genius. I just didn't really smoke until I got accepted into college, which was near my end of my senior year. And that's when the minute I got my acceptance letter and I found out that my final transcripts did not matter to stop me from going to this college, I got the scholarship, you know, I'm going to go and, then let's party up. Started smoking
freedom.
Like a beast.
That's real, right?
Hell yeah. That's when I became a man. So that was always fun. I got a free meal today, by the way.
Nice.
Thanks to a certain a company or so, you know, somebody I work with in my profession, you know, a vendor of sorts. You know, real nice, real great idea. They said, listen, we can't get together and have a meeting. And let me tell you, they basically said, hey, go pick up a free meal over at Bonefish Grill.
That's awesome.
And I'm
love Bonefish Grill.
Right. And I'm thought, hey, this is awesome. Mother's Day. I wish it happened early because I thought it'd be a great Mother's Day. So what I did was
you thought you could do a
late Mother's Day. I told my wife, I go, look, I appreciate all the cooking you're doing around here. I love you. And I started doing, I do dishes. I'm actually doing dishes. She's doing all the cooking. I'm like, because when I stand in front of a dish, in front of a, because we don't have a dishwasher. We have one. It doesn't work. We never use it. We just do our dishes because it's like two of us.
Okay.
So we don't stuff the dishwasher. We just kind of hand wash our dishes. And I have to do it right. Otherwise, she points it out. But, you know, so I did the dish. I'm doing my part. So I said, listen, on Tuesday, I'm going to go get some Bonefish Grill, which is a great thing because guess where she goes with her friends when we don't have a pandemic?
Bonefish Grill.
With her friends on happy hour, they go to, so I'm thinking, this is great. What a Mother's Day gift. And it didn't even happen.
This is classic husband stuff.
You know, this would really be good if Facebook Live was on right now.
Got this free meal coming. I'm going to share it with my wife and pawn it off. Yeah. It's a great gift.
Well, listen, buddy. I mean, listen, I get to eat half of it. She gets to eat half of it and doesn't have to cook all of it.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? She's getting a lot more out of this deal than I am. Because if she didn't cook, then I would end up going somewhere and get something anyway. I mean, honestly. But listen, my wife's an awesome cook. She's a great bartender, by the way. And I gave her a new nickname. You want to know what her new nickname
What's
is?
What's her new nickname?
I forgot it. But I think it's Trip S.
Trip S. Triple sec.
Trip shots. Triple shots. She's making drinks. She's triple shot in her drink. And then she asked me if I wanted a triple. I go,
man.
Am I your husband or am I here?
Getting intense.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying my wife's not an alcoholic, but we are in quarantine.
Dude, I've been talking to a lot of my friends. Their sex life has increased tremendously during quarantine because of the alcohol.
Really? Yeah. What else? Yeah. Well, shit. No wonder she's taking good.
It is intense.
That's why I'm giving her that nickname. Trip S. And she likes it. Trip S. Because Trip S kind of has a feminine, you know what I mean? It's like Trip S.
I get it.
It's almost like Triple X, but, you know.
Almost, but the feminine.
But the feminine side of Trip S. You know, that's where they should come out with a movie, Trip S.
Trip S, where that would be a highly exaggerated female character.
Somebody. Who are they going to get?
Whooping up on all these.
They can only get that Wonder Woman
dudes
lady.
Dudes who are 200 pounds heavier than her.
You ever watch some of these old like superhero flicks and you watch the fight scenes and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, they're terrible.
What are they trying to punch? The guy who's standing on his head? every old fight scene, every punch that's thrown, it's like they're trying to knock off a garbage can off somebody's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you swinging that high, dummy? And of course you're going to miss. I love it. I want to do some fun stuff like videos of that. Like
old school.
I mean, like Kevin,
school.
Steven Seagal, dude. I want to get some patsies. You know, we get in a room and they come at me and they just let them come at me. And yeah, I wouldn't mind going through one of those like Kevin Steven Seagal situations where I grab
you'd hurt somebody.
I would fuck them up. Oh, damn it. Is that
cool? Oops.
Oops.
There's a lot of oops.
Or as they say in Russia, oopski.
Oops, bring the next guy.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine remind me of a story recently. Like he used to take these martial arts classes with me and then we'd have the gang fight drills, you know, where you'd fight and then you have to fight two people and say call somebody
what?
Else three people. Yeah, all within the circle, you know, the floor. And my buddy George, who was the drummer for Zamboogalard here in the days, good for Crazy George, who's an actor and great guy. And he actually was funny. He's a big dude. And he thought he was going to sneak up behind me, you know, when I was dealing with one aspect. I was kicking the guy and trying to push off and get out of the circle of danger in a sense. And I could tell he was trying to come up. And as I was turning around, I saw him kind of in the back of my ninja eye. And I did a spinning back fist and caught him right in the fucking head. Damn, I did it again. And you know what I mean? And caught him right and boom across the head. And he still remembers that. It's always good when someone brings that up.
Oh, he still remembers it?
Yeah,
that
I thought.
That was significant for
him
then.
Yeah, because he ate it. You know, like, I don't know if I saw it. No, you know what it was? Because we're in the school and there's a mirror. You know, there's a mirror on one side of the wall. So I could I just vaguely remember seeing it.
He saw it coming.
He had that weaselly look on his face, too. I could see all of it in slow motion. He's like, I'm going to knock him into next week. This cocky bastard.
You were cocky back then, huh?
No, not that. No, I was just... When it came to martial arts, I took it so long that when I start a new school, you're like that guy who, like, you know what I mean? You know, like you, in comedy, you go to comedy class somewhere and everybody's trying to figure it out, like, I'm kind of, right. And then all of a sudden someone goes up and smooth as gel and you're like,
who is this guy?
Who is this person? You know what I mean? Just because, like,
been training.
I had that background, like soccer. My dad played soccer in Europe. So when I played on youth leagues, I was pretty much schooled. A little bit. You know, I was ahead of the average Joe. You know what I mean? So, and that's bad sometimes. Let me tell you, that could be bad. I talk about sometimes fortune or assistance, right, or something of that nature, sometimes could backfire. So that's when people tell me, like, oh, they're just privileged. They have all these. That's never, it's to an individual, that could be a bad thing. Because, you know, I could tell you as a soccer player, I wish to God to this day that I had not got so laxed, in a sense, when I was in high school, because if I took it to the next level and I, you know, did something, I would have been, you know, probably still playing at the age of 50. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right.
Dude, you got such a variety, like your background.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Renaissance man,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, you got a good life.
Like that's soccer, the thing, dude. That's like you talk about this quarantine. It's like, you know, but
comedy.
You know,
got a studio here. Financial planning.
Thanks, brother. Jeez,
dude, that's amazing.
This guy's great.
Amazing.
Bro. And I feel, but and that's why, to me, if anything, that's why I always push friends of mine. I always push people I know and people I want to wish well to. When I see like certain like falling or crumbling of the foundation. You know what I mean? That's when I like to step in. That's when I like, you know what I mean? Because I've been there and real influential people stepped in at that moment in my life at times. And, that, you know, if you could have had some...
Gave you a little pick-me-up.
Yeah, you could have had some hooplehead come in and go, hey, don't worry, nobody makes it. You know, you're really not that funny anyway. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if that's the person you listen to, if that's the inspiration you follow, okay, I think you're right.
I was just listening to listening to the audiobook of Steve Martin's autobiography. You read that or heard it?
Dude, I read it a long time ago. When the first book came out, I read it, and I want to get it again.
Yeah,
there's
man.
A couple rereads.
He had a bunch of those moments where people just telling him, you're not going to make it. Yeah, comedy's not for you. You're not going to make it. A bunch of those moments.
Yeah. and that's easy. You know, again... There is a philosophy or a saying, not everybody will walk on the moon. And it's for the chosen few. Like, that much success, that much notoriety, that much fame, that much achievement.
He was like a rock star at one
point. Yeah, man. And that's what, you talk about self-reflection, about comedy. That's why, you know, where I'm at, I'm thinking, where am I going to go back on the road? Or, you know, what am I going to do next? You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, and that's why, here's where either people fade away, right? You fall back into the shadows and you creep back into the familiarity and comfort. You drift back, you get right back into the drift. And, oh, I'm just going to float around in this tube. I'm going to do it wherever it takes me. I'm going to go. And that's it.
You need that guy to come in and be like, what are you doing, Dougie?
Yeah.
Get back out there.
You're well, crazy. I don't know if I want to hear that guy right now, I'll be honest with you. No, but for example, I mentioned I did an audition for a Michelob Ultra commercial. An audition.
Another thing, another acting
that
thing
could be,
that you're doing now.
You know the thing about auditions that bugs me? Every time you get done with an audition, you're always thinking, God, I wish I would have just, you know, oh, what if I would have, you
That's
know?
That's a perfectionist attitude.
Because the casting people, and we did this on Skype. Yeah, that's why I think my computer's not working because I got on Skype and I got some crap on it. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on, but it was fun. You know, it's like I got to set up the camera, had to act like I was doing a certain thing. You know, but then you think about it. Of course, then you're like, oh, what if I got it? You know, what if I'm on a national commercial now and they're seeing my chubby ass? in this scene. They're making these faces. You know? And then would I rather do that? I mean, look at John Levine, local comic here. You know, he went up to Atlantic. He's a smart guy, very smart guy. He's not good looking at all, but he's
a handsome guy.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm fucking with John. You know, he's very, like I said, well read, real super smart guy. Well, you know, and he's an actor. He went to Geordie, did great. You know, he's got a bunch of stuff going. And you think about stuff, and you're like, well, you never know. Like everything that's just happened to everybody. Everybody in the world is going to look back and go, oh, yeah, the beginning of 2020. You know,
yeah.
What were you doing? Everybody's dealing with it. So it's interesting how we fall back and start thinking, well, maybe I should do this, you know. And I won't talk, but I was also, somebody else brought something to my attention that may make it interesting to combine some things in the entertainment world. And not travel. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe this may be the time. So we'll have to see about that. But the commercials, fun, and because they, whenever they give you an audition, they say, okay, here's the general scenario. And I don't want to give it away because the commercial, but they, and then you're like, oh, what do I do? And then the wardrobe. And the first thing I started thinking was, I don't have any of the wardrobe for this. It's based, I'll say golf.
Did you go out and buy something?
Where am I going to go?
Yeah.
What store am I going to go to? And I makeshifted, you know what I mean? And I actually wore the shirt that I wore in the Fox Bet commercial where I dropped the ice cream on the guy's foot. That big old shirt. It's a big ass shirt. I look like Jackie Gleason in that shirt. And I thought, and the guy loved it. The casting guy says, it looks great. And I said, good. And he goes, okay, so the character's kind of like this. And this, and then you can't.
This was happening live on Skype.
Yeah, right on Skype, on that screen right there. And
that's like improv.
Yeah, and I was in here, and he goes, sounds great. The camera's great. I had these mics set up. I turned the gain up here and turned it right up here in the middle, and I stood right over where you're at. Had that camera set up, eye level. Did my slate, you know, come up, this is who I am.
Dougie Almeida. See, all those things, all those little details that you're like, this is important, where another person will just be like, I'm going to do this on my cell phone.
Yeah.
And the camera's going to, I'm going to hold the camera, and I'm going to try to act it out on here.
It's the difference.
It's the difference.
I said that. I always said this. You don't know what you don't know. When people criticize what other people are actually doing, this is why I'm really big on criticism. I don't mind criticizing you. I know you. So if I'm criticizing you...
No, you've been very vocal in your criticism. Yeah.
Listen, dude, you suck. No, you know what I mean?
No.
But and again, you know me. Yeah. I'm telling you that because I know you can fuck.
Right.
I caught myself. I know you can handle it. Yeah. I know you're the kind of. And listen, if you can handle it, guess what? In the big picture, you don't deserve it. If you can't handle it, you don't deserve it. That's all. That's what achievement is. Achievement is doing the things that other people don't want to do. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. So when people poo-poo success, I get a little pissed. You know? So and you handle it, right? And you do it. But that's it.
Comes with it.
Got a free meal today. I already talked about that, right? I'm waiting to eat it.
You didn't tell what you got. What'd you get?
I don't know what it is. Some chicken, some lace.
I don't even know what it is yet.
Yeah, my wife pulled out the bread. The bread was delicious. And here's one of those, you talk about, you know, a married moment. Mm-hmm. All right. It's like good. Like I'm putting you through something. You're not married yet, but here's like a lesson you'll learn.
You don't have to say yet.
Okay. Oh, you're married?
No, it's not gonna happen.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, we always said that, dude. So I got this food. Again, great deal. Bonefish Grill. This isn't Taco Bell.
Right.
You know, it's a great place. And it's actually a meal for four. It's four people. It's like a family deal, and there's two of us. Well, there's me and her.
So, good eat.
So one of them's bread. The bread's good. The bread's kind of fresh, right? So she made the bowl with the olive oil and the salt and the pepper and you know what I mean. She was getting it ready. So before you came, so I'm like, I'm a little hungry. I have a little piece of bread. So I started eating it and everything a little bit, and I'm like, all right, that's good. And then she's like, she almost expected me to eat all the bread. Like, at least the whole piece.
Right.
She goes, well, this won't be good later. I'm like, well, I'm not going to feed my fat ass now and go do a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's like that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Almost a little emasculating. I think it's a little emasculating. Like, I don't know how to eat a certain amount of bread. I'm sorry. I'm quirky. It's the quarantine quirk. I got the quarantine quirk, man. Hey, why are you being so mean to your wife? I just got the quarantine, Kirk. Can't take it anymore. Gonna punch her in a minute. No, we don't. I don't do that. We had those moments where it's got on her nerves a little bit, you know. But we actually had friends over. Again, you know, my wife does hair, so there's people that come by and
get their hair
done. Yeah, they had time to come get the hair, so you know, it's kind of breaks the monotony and that kind of thing.
That's good.
By the way, rest in peace, Jerry Stiller, comedy legend Jerry Stiller, who's the son of Ben Stiller, or the father of Ben Stiller, a very funny comedic actor, right?
Both of them.
Yeah. And Stiller and Mirror, did you see the Stiller and you see the old tapes of Stiller and Mirror from way before you were born? you know, again, comedy, just any, to me, that's an incredible story with Ben Stiller because, you know, it's one thing, as we were talking about, it's one thing to achieve fame and that these levels, you know, of achievement and all this kind of stuff, but it's another thing to last.
Yeah.
And reinvent yourself. And you know, it's for some, in some situations, people are just, they've done so well that they end up getting that privilege of always being, you know, left, you know, into situations like Tegan, what's his name's wife?
Christy Tegan.
Yeah, she keeps getting gigs just for being around. Ugh. You've seen that Quibi? Have you seen the Quibi thing? Do you know, what do you think of, what's her name, Christine Tegan?
Chrissy Tegan.
Chrissy Tegan. Are you a big fan of Chrissy Tegan? She's John, what's his name?
John Legend.
John Legend. Loved that song of him, you know, those love song he just put out, you know.
Oh, he just put out a new love song?
No, not the new one. He put it out. It was great.
All of me.
Yeah, it's a great song. You know, but his wife's a dingbat. So I, you know, I mean, I haven't met her personally to give her that type of diagnosis. But she's, she's a little, you know, she hasn't built up all those credits in my mind. I'm just thinking in that sense.
It's honest criticism.
So here's a guy who lasted. He's on Seinfeld. He was on The King of Queens. This guy.
That's where I first saw him, Seinfeld.
Yeah. And he, you know, as a character actor, that's why I'm thinking about this audition and everything going on. I just want somebody to see, you know, this face and go, oh, this guy's got to be the guy who comes in around that time in the scene. You know what I mean? Or,
right, right.
And at this stage of my life, that would be it. You know, it's like we think about all the things that we've done. You think about where we're at, you know. And then comedy-wise, yeah, oh, guess what? The guy who's got this TV show, he's coming to the improv. I'm not going to be emceeing or featuring. I'm going to be closing the bitch. You know what I mean? And that's what we got to be at this point in my life. I want to really bust my ass for mediocrity, you know. I don't know. It's just crazy frustrating, dude. I could tell you somebody who said, I'm coming back. Mike Tyson's coming back.
I saw some.
Didn't you see that guy training?
Oh, man.
I thought he was going to get in the ring with Screech.
It's incredible.
You know, get closer to that mic, dude, by the way. I want to get more of that voice.
Yeah, man. Tyson looks amazing.
Did you see that?
I don't want to get in the ring. I wouldn't do it.
Are you nuts?
I'm pretty sure he could still knock some people out easily.
Hell yeah.
Easily.
Now, everybody's thinking, oh, maybe if I kept away from him. But if you watch the way this, and again, another moment where people don't know what they don't know.
It's all hypothetical.
The average person who says, hey, if somebody went to hit me, I would have to just move. Well, let me see you move. Let me see how you move. You know, let me see that move. Oh, well, you know, you could
barely get off the couch.
I had a friend.
What are you talking about? Move.
Being in martial arts all my life, I used to have a friend that when people would talk to him about, and he was, you know, he's a martial artist. Very humble guy, you know what I mean. He was taller. He was like 6'1". He was very like never wanted to fight. Like, you know what I mean. His dad would kick his brother. You know, this guy was not a bad kid. He was like a heart with feet. You know what I mean. But this is the funny part. So when people would ask, why should I learn karate? Or no, the guy's like, look, somebody tried to teach you karate. You know, somebody starts giving you advice. It's like when an open micer comes up to you and gives you a tag, you know, you're like, okay, thanks. Somebody come up and say, okay, listen, okay, we're going to do this. So, if, you know, act like you're going to hit me, you know, and I'm going to show you what I would do. And he would hit the guy. He would hit the guy in like open-handed or just, but he would hit him in a way that like the guy would, the looks that you would remember seeing, the people would be looking at him like, what'd you do that for? I'm like, you said hit you, dude. You're not prepared. You're not a very good trainer. Then he would say, hit me. You know, and then it would be like a Socratic moment where people would realize their true worth, their true self. You know, like, hey, don't go around talking nonsense if you're not packing the punch. But Jerry Stiller definitely packed the punch, man. And that guy, salute to you, my friend. Again, not only for being funny as balls, coming out huge, being original, being something, you know, wow. And then for just staying and being, you know what I mean? Think about that. It's like Aerosmith. You know what I mean? It's like a band like Rolling Stones. You know, they didn't have one hit wonder. This isn't Men from Work. You know, this is the Rolling Stones. You know? So God bless.
And impacting his son.
Well.
To do what his son does.
Yeah. A very funny actor. Very funny guy. You know, it's funny. I think he had some work done when he did the, what was the model job?
Zoolander
with him and
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson with that funny nose. He has that nose, like it looks like a knight's face shield.
How about that guy making it in Hollywood with that nose? That's crazy.
How does that happen?
He knows somebody.
Hey, dude, what did you walk into doors a lot? You know, hey, what do you got? What do you walk into cabinets? But he tried to commit suicide, right?
Yeah, Owen Wilson tried to commit
suicide. Shanghai Nights with Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Good movie. He was a very funny character in that movie. He's like that. Homie. You know, of course, the Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers,
right? That. With Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. When's the first time you saw Jerry Stiller?
Walking out of my mother's room one night when my dad was.
And that's when I knew.
That's when I knew I needed to be a comic. That's funny.
First time I saw Ben Stiller was the cable guy. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When he was sitting on the stand because he murdered somebody. I forget what the whole premise of it was. Maybe his twin brother. And then they came out with like a movie in there.
And he did those movies with the museum, which were big.
The museum.
With Robin Williams in that. And just a lot of work. And then, of course, Dodgeball, like another Vince Vaughn movie.
Dodgeball.
And he ends up being a big fat bastard at the end again.
Secret Remember? Life for Walter Mitty.
Yeah, the Fockers.
The Fockers. Oh, yeah. That was huge.
Yeah. Could that you imagine huge. Being the Fockers? You know, I mean, it's just great movie. You know, Dustin Hoffman, great actor as his dad.
Yeah.
He's a nurse. He's not gay.
Martha Falker.
And Barbara Streisand, right? No, not Barbara Streisand.
No, I think
it was his mother.
It was
Barbara Streisand. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that witch. speaking of witches, I thought this was interesting. We'll lead into...
transitions are so great.
They're right?
Your transitions.
They're seamless.
They're seamless.
A California assemblywoman tweets... I'm going to say it now.
Okay.
Fuck Elon Musk. After he threatens to move the Tesla plant out of California, Alameda, California area. It's not Alameda. I wish I owned it. But because, you know, he's against the shutdown.
He's against it.
Yes. And councilwoman says, fuck him. He wants to go.
Wait, assemblywoman or councilwoman?
Councilwoman. I call her councilwoman. Assemblywoman, actually. Yeah, sorry. On Saturday, Tesla CEO Elon Musk threatened to move both the company headquarters and production facilities to Texas or Nevada, whoever pays us the money, if they were not allowed to reopen as soon as possible.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people, her constituents, were not happy with her big mouth because that's not the thing you do to somebody who deserves the credit of an Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Again, there are certain people...
You don't get to criticize
that you what? Didn't. You she's an assemblywoman. See, that's why she said it. She goes, "I'm no councilwoman."
Right.
I don't
she's
know which is higher. What's higher, assemblywoman or councilwoman? Is it the same thing?
Assembly. When you said assembly, immediately I thought on the assembly line making Tesla parts.
Or she's the one in charge for all the assemblies in school.
Right.
We're gonna have an assembly today at 2:45. We're going to take everybody's names before we release, so you're going to get cheating.
What's that person doing right now?
Yeah.
They're probably trying to work for Tesla.
Then Musk took to Twitter and announced he would sue Alameda County. The unelected
they didn't let him leave or something?
The unelected and ignorant interim health officer, a of Alameda is acting contrary to the governor, the president, our constitutional freedoms, our plain common sense. Yeah, he's basically saying it's fascist to make people stay at home. You know, again, here's the thing about our country. There's two schools of thought here. There is the argument that no government should make you stay at home and force you from keeping to do with the things you want to do, if in fact you're not a hooplehead. Okay. The problem is that there are so many dumbasses out there, right, that don't get it. I was in Walmart. I'm helping the wife. Mm-hmm. My wife asked me to go get the Parmesan cheese and the mozzarella cheese for the chicken parm she actually made.
Oh man!
So I went to Walmart. Right around the corner. I'm in there, I will use the self screen, you know, the self checkout, because I'm not going to touch the screen and then stick it up my nose or rub my eyes right after. Okay, I'm not a dumbass. So if I'm going to use that, like, how can you use that? You got gloves. So anyway, luckily enough, I have a thing of shredded, shaved Parmesan cheese in my hand, and I got a block of Polio mozzarella cheese. Mm-hmm. And then I'm so nice, I walk up to the service desk and there's a lady I stand with a cartload of stuff, and I go, "Man, would you mind if I go ahead?" She's like, "No, but this is taking a bit." And there's this guy sitting there trying to count money for 14 hours. He must have been an accountant for Enron. and he was just taking, his mask was like a mustache. He didn't cover his mouth, it didn't cover his nose. And I'm sitting there and he's like, and he's going, and he's counting again and again, and I'm looking and go, "Oh my God, this is the worst. This is why certain states and certain people think that we need to stay home, because that guy needs to stay home." Now that's the problem. Do I got to stay home because those brain dead?
Well, there's disgusting people out there who've been disgusting, and now you're trying to make them less disgusting than they normally are.
But that's what the coronavirus is. Well, the really coronavirus is to get them, and they're gone. Like, kill them all. Get rid of these dirty-ass bastards. That's what it's all about. This everybody's talking about conspiracy. The coronavirus is only here to get rid of the nasty bastards. That's it. And people in nursing homes. Oh, God. Unbelievable, man.
You seem pretty upset by
it. I'm upset about it. I don't think a politician. But the good thing is
okay, so even, are you for him to move?
I don't care what he does. I mean, the stock went from 300 to 800. Amazing. Wow. But the guy knows how to produce cars. This is amazing.
You see that truck he's coming out with?
That the Wedge? but you know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody talks about, he made ventilators. No, he made CPAP machines. Because everybody's talking about how Tesla was going to make ventilators. No, he made CPAP machines, which can help, I guess. Can help people with breathing disorders, but not somebody who's full-blown COVID.
You're not going to use a CPAP for a COVID person.
No, it's not going to be. Although in some cases, they used to use that balloon that you would sit there and just pump, and you have to manually do it, right? If somebody can't breathe, then
breathe. BVM, yeah, for sure.
If you're trying to keep somebody alive.
If your respiratory drive is dead, then you need.
Some poor person's got to sit there and pump.
Yep.
How long do you think you can pump that thing before you'd have to call?
They don't use the actual two-handed method anymore. It's a one-handed method.
Oh, yeah?
And it's pretty easy. Basically, you're just inflating it until their chest rises so you know they're getting adequate air, and then you monitor everything. You could do it for a couple hours and then switch off.
Next thing you know,
But typically, you just do it long enough to get them on a ventilator. And then ventilator.
Thank goodness. so she's a lot of people are ripping her because of it, and it's ridiculous. You're an assemblywoman, okay? Go go tell them when the kids need to go come out for the Sadie Hawkins dance assembly.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that's free enterprise, man. This is America. You do whatever you want with your business. If you're the leader, you're like, "I'm getting out of here."
I mean,
it's upsetting if you're work for the city.
The problem we're having with all this nonsense that's going on is people from their ivory towers really aren't there. They haven't seen it. So if you've seen like the food plants and stuff, like the close proximity and everything going into the problem we're having with that, you know, there's a couple I recently saw, Tyson Food, and it's completely different from 3 weeks ago now. So they stepped it up and they're disgusting. But, you know, but people don't know. Like I think about like my wife, like she's a hairdresser. Her salon's in Boca, so they're going to reopen next week. And I'm thinking the same thing, like, hey, man, you know, I don't want some person coming in there. And again, because you never know,
like a mustache.
You know. But people say, yeah.
Got money at the register.
But she's going to wear one of those face shields. They got, you know, they're going to have a mask, a face shield. And then I'm like, but I need an ionizer. Got to bring the ionizer.
Yeah.
I have an ionizer here, by the way. We were going to talk about it before, but and I think this is like the save-all for the COVID, for like comedy shows, group things, right?
I'm not convinced.
No, he doesn't, because you...
I don't even know how... like how.
It takes all the like the bacteria out of the air. It takes all the fungus.
How do you know that thing works?
Because I clean it. Okay.
See all the bacteria?
I can see it. I see those. I can actually see the corona. There was a corona in there, and nobody got sick, so I know it works. Okay, but look at it.
I wish I invented something like that. This cleans the air.
I
think I'm going to do that.
What it does is it brings out these things. So it puts out these like this science stuff in the air.
That's exactly.
Yeah, that. And like you feel it, right? It's blowing stuff out of it. So it's got to be working.
Sounds like a fan. Sounds like a high price. But it's not a fan.
See, it's blowing these ionizations out. And what happens is, if the COVID was in here, it'd go, wow, it would run to it like a moth to a light. And it would get caught in it. And then somehow it would circulate and it'd find its way back, because those science droplets are boomerang. And it brings it back in, and they gather on that metal plate in the middle when I pull it out. And do it that way.
I'm not going to lie, it does feel cleaner. It feels, say cleaner, it feels clean in here.
Right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wiped everything down for you. I wiped everything down with what I cleaned my my morning self. Never mind. All right. I think it's time.
Let's do it.
I don't, you know.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, time for straight for the headlines.
All right.
We talk about things here and around the world. I mean, I talked about that story, but, you know, we were talking about the importance of staying home. People are mad because they think they should stay home. And, you know, they have certain people telling them, hey, we'll fight in Congress to get you $2,000 a month just to stay home. Right. I mean, this is basically you look at one side of the fence. You go, well, how are we going to do this? How is the government going to fund the economy for an additional 3 to 4 months, which means trillions of dollars and more dollars and to make people from, you know, when $1 million isn't enough money?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you know when $1 million isn't enough money? Do you know?
Is this a riddle?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
No, go ahead. Tell me when $1 million isn't enough money.
When you need $1,000,001 to do what you want to do or buy what you want to buy.
Okay.
So if the government keeps giving out money, mm-hmm. and just floods the system with money, inflation, or what we worried about deflation right now, it's another story. But if inflation comes out, it doesn't matter if the government gives you $200.
It doesn't. Because that's going to be eaten up by inflation.
And what will happen is that what you get with that $200 is at the whim of the government. The government will decide what that $2,000 buys you that they're giving you, ultimately. So
ultimately.
Again, you don't know what you don't know, but that's how the system would work. But some people say, okay, so it wouldn't happen that long, a few months. Okay, but again, $2,000 a month for 250 million people.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
So you figure, so all right, so now you look at the place like Tesla. You know, can that guy set it up so people can go to work safely? Is it possible? You know, if you're sitting on your couch right now reading an old Mad magazine thinking you know the answer, you probably don't know the answer. You know, if you're sitting there and you just got done watching soap operas all day and you're getting on Facebook yelling at people, calling them racist because of their political belief, you are not qualified to answer that question either. The person who is the person who runs a factory, the person who's been there, the person who has a factory, has hired people, has a warehouse, has a stretch of land that they purchased. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but some part of me is like, do they even know? Or are they selling me ionizers? Are they the people selling me this?
It's working.
Telling me that it's working?
It's messing up your English.
They're gonna put this in a factory. They're going to put a couple of those in the factory. If Tesla made a mask, if this was like a Tesla mask and he just gave them to his workers?
There's two things you can control. A, you wear a mask, number one, or keep control of what you take in.
And some people don't even want to do that.
And they don't want to do that. And I think, you know, listen, but at the same time, there's ways that you can treat the air, whether it's fans pulling air up into the building tops, you know what I mean, constantly trying to, you know.
Yeah, they have those in hospital rooms, those pressurized rooms.
You know what I'm saying? There's ways to kind of do that. If I was a journalist at a presidential news briefing, I'd be like, sir, can you guarantee that if we had these air purifiers that every person on earth would be safe and would not? Please answer that question.
Right.
And you know the thing that pisses me off about Trump? Why are you even asking that question? You're like, I would say that is the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. There's no way that anybody could promise that. And even if I did say yes, would you believe me or not? You know, I watched it the other day when the poor Asian lady was like, you tell China. I think he did lose it a little bit, but she is a bit of a bitch. She is. I watched the last news briefing where he walked away all pissed off. And there was like 10 questions in a row all asking the same thing about testing. Now, you're a paramedic. So the benefit of testing to me is that if there is an outbreak, if you open up the country and there start to get cases, you need to bring testing. You need to bring things there to test people to verify if they have it or not. You know, get them quarantined, you know, tag them, in other words, where they're at. That's the importance of making sure you have testing for stuff like that that happens. Whether or not we can test every living individual on Earth tomorrow is not a significant, realistic question to ask. And when 9 supposed top press people start asking the same question to me, it's like, this is not a question that you want to find out for the American public. This is a question that you're trying to get the guy to answer just to put him in a fucking box. And you know what? And the thing that pisses me off about him is like, why don't you just say there's no way to answer that? We know that we're trying to bring our test. The Admiral guy, even the poor Admiral guy is like, look, we were doing 200,000. Now we did 1,000,000. Now we're doing, we're just showing there's progress here. We should be happy and move on, you know, and let's talk about masks again. And let's talk about the ionizers. I don't want Trump to mention ionizers. I'll take the heat for the ionizers. But by the way, Cuomo, here's his first story. Cuomo says it's shocking. Cuomo, you know, the governor of New York. It's shocking. Most
is
new.
Is that how you pronounce it? Cuomo?
Cuomo, yeah. Okay. Cuomo says it's shocking. Most new coronavirus hospitalizations are people who had been staying home anyway. Why is that? Well, because co-op is more like COVID, okay? And in New York, a lot of people share, build it property. Mm-hmm. So it's very tight. You know, and if you're going home, stay at your home. You can't afford your rent and your button. You got to move back with family. And then, of course, what are people doing? Sneaking out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go have some drinks over here. And, you know.
Dude, I couldn't imagine staying in like a 200 square foot apartment.
Mm-mm.
Just cooped up in a room.
Yeah.
Like some apartments the size of your studio room here.
I know. Dude, when I go to New York, the times I've gone and I would rent an area, I'm just always amazed. I'm like, how anybody could ever. The only way you can live like that is if you're never home.
Exactly.
And that's why you go to New York and live in that place. Yeah. It's amazing. The people who stayed home have it. And I can assure you, if I didn't stay home and I was walking down the street, down the middle of the street, and it's windy and it's like 88 degrees out, I'm not going to catch it. I really don't think I'm going to catch it. We are doomed. Listen, if we can catch it out in the air like that, we would not have as many little cases as we have at this moment, okay? If you can catch it anywhere, just by, you know, somebody's driving in their car at 50 miles an hour and they cough, you know, and you're having to be walking and you're walking.
Or you're driving by,
went through your air conditioning system and you didn't have recirculate.
I got recirculate on, bro.
Got to keep that recirculate on. Don't die of being an idiot.
It's not going in my car.
It's people. Speaking of cars, 5-year-old who stole his parents' car to gets rewarded with a Lamborghini ride. Did you hear about this story?
No.
This pudgy little George Lopez looking dude. 5-year-old kid. He weighs like he's 15. But he actually took his family car out for a drive.
Nice.
Because he wanted to go buy a Lamborghini.
Oh, he wanted to go buy one.
He wanted to buy one. And I think the kid
was going to trade in.
He was going to trade in some Legos.
Oh, Legos! I thought he was going to take the
maybe some GI Joes. He thought he had barter figured out. And the kid the cop pulled over. He was 5 years old, driving to go get a Lamborghini. I'm surprised they say, yeah, I'm going to pick up some strippers, too.
And some cocaine.
And some ecstasy.
Wait a minute. Are you just a midget? Are you? Who are you?
It's Herb Villachey. Remember from Fantasy Island?
Old man.
They're playing.
Did you ever try to take your parents' cars out before?
All the time.
Yeah. That was a thing. Yo, I took mine out when I was like 12, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a horrible. I drove around the neighborhood in like first gear the entire time.
Oh, so it was an auto.
It was an automatic.
Oh, yeah.
It was automatic, but they had like a first and second gear. It was an SUV. So that first, second, if you're trying to tow something.
Yeah,
and
so
first gear, I was
you were
60, wondering why smell was coming from the truck.
It's that smoke.
I pulled back into my driveway, hit a screw, and flattened the back tire.
Explain that, kid.
Flattened the back tire. It's terrible.
So that was the last time?
Yeah, that was pretty much the last time, because my dad came home, and I was like on the truck trying to lift it up to create the... I was lifting up the flat tire side, trying to make the truck look smooth on the driveway. he noticed it immediately. He was like, what the hell is going on with this?
He knows you look like you were taking a shit in your pants.
He walked around, and I just said, rah! I just scared him, and he jumped, and he said, what? What the fuck is going on with this tire? I was just like, damn.
Dad, I think this guy was walking around here. I did. My father was an auto mechanic. And he had his own shop. So
you're around cars all day then.
Yeah, I mean, there would be times like my brother's car. I was like 14, 13. I'd just take a ride around the block or take him, you know, down the street, Atlantic Boulevard, something like that.
He knew you were doing that though.
No, my brother's didn't know. My dad would be at work. Mother would go shopping or something or whatever. And there was one time they had like a Jaguar, like one of those XJ6, not the long cigarilla ones, but the first like coupe one, the sedan looking one. And going all the way down, it's still there. It was a Southgate Boulevard, North Lauderdale, Don Carter's Bowling Alley, University Drive. That strip of road was basically barren for the most part. But this was actually one night. I took it out. I snuck out of the house. I grabbed the keys out of the car because it was parked on the street. Pushed it, you know, a little bit,
right.
And then started
in neutral.
It. Yeah, pushed it in neutral, and I started it up. It was quiet, and then I drove it, and I ended up going 130 miles an hour.
Jeez.
On Southgate Boulevard, all the way west out there by Knob, which is now Knob Hill, and these roads, and got away with it, and you know, one of those moments. Hey, look what I could do, and then like you said, one time my dad had this badass Mustang he was fixing, and I took it, I took it around my friends, like 15, 14, whatever. Took it to my friends. Hey, man, whose car's that, dude? Don't worry about it. You know, still being a tough guy. And then, of course, as I went around the corner, wouldn't start. It stalled on Atlantic Boulevard and Rock Island Road. So what do I got to do? Jump out of the car and call it stolen? Nah, I'm not an idiot. I'm not. I had to call my dad. Dad. What did you do? And then, if you wrecked that car, I'd get sued. You know, the parents love that conversation. Right, I could get sued. All right. By the way, for this story, here's the point. So this kid got caught. So what did they do? Somebody who owns a Lamborghini took him for a ride. A 5-year-old Utah boy who was caught driving his family's SUV.
He
may have discovered that crime does pay. Says here, because an adult who heard how Adrian Zamparepa stole, it sounds like that's what he eats all day, little fat pudger, stole the keys to his family's Dodge Journey, then started off to California to buy a Lamborghini, decided to give the kid a taste of a supercar life with a ride around the neighborhood. Yeah, because nothing better than taking a Master 12-cylinder car that can reach top speeds over 200 miles an hour around the neighborhood. Jeremy Neves, a local businessman, said he reached out to Zamparepa and said, I used to be fat like you when I was a kid. after he read the story about the little pudger, I'm absolutely inspired by the principles that he displayed of success. Stealing his cars. Stealing his dad's car. He's a future thief, the little pudger. Little fat bastard.
That's tenacity, man. He's a risk taker, this kid.
I'm letting him come. I'm bringing him into my crew.
Going to build up these qualities.
I'm absolutely inspired by what his success. Knowing that he wants, knowing what he wants and going after it. Yeah, I guess if you put it that way.
the wrong way.
That sounds good until he says, you know, I want to go after a big bag of heroin tomorrow.
He'll get it. It sounds like he'll get it.
Nevis insisted that he doesn't approve of Adrian's actions. But it does seem like he does, right? Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not encouraging the kids to go out and take their parents' car. I'll do anything else that's illegal. But that's the problem, dude. You take the kid in the car. I mean, it's like taking a kid. That's like finding out your kid's looking at porn online. And then say, you know what? I'm going to take you to a strip club and whorehouse. Yeah, I'm just going to take you. We're going
to take you to a brothel.
I'm going to get you a lap dance. You know, I'm going to take you in the back. I'm going to give 20 bucks to the manager to turn his head for 15 minutes. You know?
Yeah, it's similar.
Little kid's going to be, listen, we're going to find out about this kid.
Seems like a memorable last name.
Yeah, I can't even remember it now. Arepa? His last name is a cheesy, dope Colombian product.
Delicious.
It's delicious. I love him. NBC News apologizes for inaccurately quoting William Barr. Now, I threw the story in here, one, because I hate Chuck Todd. He is the NBC News anchor for Meet the Press in the Morning. He's got a bad comb over. I don't know if he's announced that he's gay, but he's definitely blowing guys in a parking lot.
That's
a bad thing, but I'm saying if he hasn't, he's clearly. I've never thought. Yeah, I do expect to see rolling eyes from journalists on things like CNBC, CNN, you know, whatever these people, the Fox, all these nonsensical news. In a sense, I'm not surprised when I see unprofessional eye rolling when somebody's talking. You know,
Suede.
Yeah, right. But on NBC, ABC, CBS News, I expect to see people that know how to act professionally, and he has dropped the ball on many occasions. On this occasion, NBC has apologized for inaccurately cutting a portion of an interview with Attorney General Bill Barr, who is the man, that left a false impression within viewers on Meet the Press. I was watching it, and basically they cut something out, so it sounded like he was being boastful and being a bit of a dick. But they took out what he said.
Removed the context of it.
Hey, the apology didn't satisfy old Trumpy, who tweeted both Sunday and Monday that Meet the Press moderator Chuck Todd should be fired. And I agree. And he should admit that he likes to play with man's balls. The news show was discussing the Justice Department's decision to drop the case for Michael Flynn. I don't know if you followed that.
All right,
no. And most people understand. Well, and the thing, Obama said, hey, this is unprecedented. Well, Holder did it. His attorney general did it on several occasions with cases where they found out law wasn't followed and procedure wasn't followed, so they dismissed cases even though people even pled guilty. So don't know why, and people are questioning why he was it set a precedent. No, you did it several times, not in this manner. The news was discussing the Justice Department's decision to drop the case. When Barr was asked by a reporter, Catherine Herridge, what history would say about the decision of dropping the case against Michael Flynn, Barr replied that history is written by the winner. So it largely depends on who's writing the history. What they cut out, because it sounds like he's basically saying we're rewriting this bitch and we're not following law. That's, you leave out. When Barr was asked by that, so Todd said that he was struck. Todd, Chuck, I was struck by the cynicism. Somebody suck my dick. On that answer. I would say that too. I guess that doesn't make me gay. It's a correct answer, Todd said, but he's the attorney general. He didn't make the case that he was upholding the rule of law. He was almost admitting that, yeah, this is a political job. Todd. However, Meet the Press didn't include Barr's full answer to the question because he went on to say, but I think a fair history would say that it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law. It upheld the standards of the Department of Justice and it undid what was an injustice. End of quote. End scene.
And they cut it. Was this a live show?
Yeah. Well, it's a pre-recorded show in the morning, right, or something. Right. So but they kept it out. So here you have NBC News, mm-hmm. reputable news agency. Purpose. They said it was a mistake. Now, again, I am not the NBC News. I don't have a show, Meet the Press, right?
Right.
I have a little podcast called Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and we do these little clips. We put out to tease people to come listen to the show. It's called Just the Clip. So I find a minute of the show, and I take that clip, and I look at it, and then I edit. So I put some thinking into the edit.
You do.
To tell me that the person who is editing
made that mistake.
Did not even think. With
a lot of time.
Oopsie.
Right.
Bullshit. Chuck Todd needs to go.
Well, is Chuck Todd one of those guys who has his own personal opinion kind of thing?
Everybody has their own personal opinion.
Like their own swing on their own show.
But he's just so... Anytime... There's a lot of video of him where there's people that are basically saying he's trying to push that agenda. There's two people you see on stuff that are, when they try to push the anti-Trump agenda,
all right,
on TV like that, that usually get flushed in their face. One is The View, when Joey Behar would go on there and say something, even the governor of California pushed it back at her a couple times and people and stuff like that. Or this show, a reputable show, or somebody go on there and he'll think he have you cornered. He thinks he corners people that being to his narrative, and then it's somebody will come out and say this. So get lost. Our next story, doctors performing a CAT scan on a man with back pain, discover he has 3 kidneys.
Nice. Some people only have 1 kidney.
Right. and after hearing this, he went out and drank a bottle of booze.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You might. You've got 3 kidneys. Shit. It's like
3 kidneys.
It's like having 2 penises.
Ah, I wouldn't want that.
No.
No, I don't think so. Were they the same size? Would they be the same size where will one work better than the other?
All right, well, let's think about
this. This huge one that didn't work.
We're developing this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, let's
so let's construct.
Fun.
Let's be the dungeon master. So, all right, so the first thought is if I have 2 penises the same size, are they going to be one on top of each other? They're going to be side by side.
They got to be side by side.
Side by side would be the best way to have it.
Yeah.
Right, because then you have sisters.
Maybe on top of each other, because then you could just put chicks like
now you're with one
like
girl
a pyramid kind of thing.
Well, now you got to hire. Now you got to have sex with these former cheerleaders, or Asian,
both just like face down,
or Asian
on top of each
or
other.
Asian body tumblers.
So side by side is the way you're going here.
I think side by side. I mean, because then you could put one down each leg. And people are like, holy shit.
I don't know.
You know,
I think as long as, like, if you did the one on top of the other, as long as the bigger one was on top, you could mask the other one. Or maybe the small one on top, so you could pleasure the girl a lot, like both.
Again, all right, so now we're going with the construct of one smaller than the other.
Yeah, now I'm one smaller.
Yeah, well,
they're the same
you
size.
Should probably have the smaller one on the bottom.
On the bottom?
Yeah, because you don't want anybody to look at the first penis you have as the small one.
Well, if you had the small one, you would see the big one behind it.
Yeah, but then you'd be like, well, how did this guy get first trumpet? How does this guy get first chair?
You have to think that guy is for... It's just like those dildos that the chicks
have now.
That's what
I'm saying. If you're gonna have
the little one and the...
If you're going to have it that way, the big one on top, the little one goes in the littler space. And then
the little one could just be for like stimulation.
And, well, it's got to be really small then. We're not talking about you're gonna have a micro penis and a Kong dong.
I mean, you could.
I mean, could you
have
imagine?
Have you seen those people with like 6 toes and or fingers?
Yeah,
like a little tiny one just hanging out there.
Yeah, it's like, but obviously that's not as glamorous as having 2 penises. So you know,
not at all.
It wouldn't make any. It wouldn't. I wouldn't know if I would tell anybody if I had a real big dick and one little one. I'd be like, oh, I don't know where that came from. That's like having a useless sibling. You know, he's all right.
That's terrible.
You know, so anyway, we don't have much time, so I'm going to close the show. Our final story of the day, men take Guinness record for ping pong ball catches in shaving cream. Now, I wasn't aware that this was actually something in the Guinness Book of World Records, but I'd imagine that's why nobody buys that piece of shit anymore. Do you ever read when's
no,
the last time?
I
remember when I was a kid, we'd look at the Guinness.
You remember that would be a thing.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to get into Guinness.
Hell yeah. It was like a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to see how long I could stay awake. You know, how long I can rock in a rocking chair. Right? How long can I sing Skip to the Loo, My Darling? But on a pair of Idaho men, figures they got nothing better to do, tackled an unusual Guinness World Record by most table tennis balls. caught in a shaving foam on the head in 30 seconds, a team of two people.
How many did they get?
So before I even go any further on the story, basically one of us put shaving cream all over our head. And one of us, I don't know what kind of distance, I don't know, but we have to try to,
get
you and I try this.
Balls to stick
like,
to it.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you have to bounce it off one dick and then hit it with a bigger dick. David Rush, who has broken more than 100 Guinness records.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, and I still don't know who he is. To promote STEM education.
That's pretty sad.
This guy has 100 Guinness Book records, and no one knows who the hell he is. Education. And Jonathan Hannon.
It's probably big, and he's probably a huge deal in this town.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his pickup line. Hey.
I got 100
Guinness Book records.
That's not impressive as this guy over here with two dicks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he's an astronaut. It went on to an unusual record, which was formerly held by stunt team Dude Perfect with 21 ping pong balls. Doesn't sound like a lot to me. Before being beaten in 2019 by Swiss friends Jonas Ling and Pascal Hunziker, who managed to get 22 balls. And that was even the night before in the party they went to. A video of the latest attempt shows Rush forming the shaving cream on Hannon's head into a bowl shape to better catch the balls. I guess he knows something about catching balls, which Rush had to toast.
Did he learn that from Chuck Todd?
Yeah. I guess he did. There he goes, a callback. I wonder if he does. Chuck Todd taught him that. All right, so here's the deal. So he ended up bouncing on the ground, but the final... Several of the balls tossed by Rush ended up bouncing on the ground, but the final count of the balls that stuck in the shaving cream of Hannon's head was 29. Beating the previous record. Now, I don't know what kind of distance they're throwing it, but if you were standing in front of me and it's 30
it
seconds,
too hard.
I could get a lot more than 30 balls on your head.
I don't know if 30 balls will fit on there.
Yeah, we'd have to really
You'd
get
have a, to do like a shaving cream crown thing.
Well, that's what he did. It looked like a chef hat. He made like a chef hat of like a just coming up like, you know, like his head's exploding. But, you know, I mean, if you've accomplished 100
Guinness World Records.
I mean, it could now think about the poor person who's only got one or two.
The poor person,
right? Like, you know, this person's got two Guinness records,
it's
and
like
then
Jeff Bezos, who makes, you know, 100 billion,
yeah,
and he's like, think about the person who only makes one.
Yeah, think about that guy or gal. Sorry, buddy. yeah, I think you're right. Well, I don't know. I think this has been fun. I missed our Facebook Live audience today. But this will be interesting. Since we didn't do anything on Facebook Live, I'm wondering how many people are actually going to download the podcast. Because as we've been doing more Facebook Live, less people have been downloading podcasts and just and watching the Facebook Live. So maybe we are.
Nice, interesting experiment.
Yeah, we might see what happens. So, Friday I'm going to be somewhere in Wynnewood. I can't tell you to come because there'll be too many people. That I'm going to do some stand up on Friday.
Look at you getting back out there, man. I
want to see. And you know what? I don't care. I wrote so many new jokes, you know, about stuff that's going on. And I don't care if they're funny. I don't care. I just want to take this time to just scrape the cheese.
Unleash it, man.
Yeah. Anyway,
how that goes.
By the way, guys, tomorrow on Instagram Live, I'll be doing a Dose of Dougie with my good friend Big Irish J, winner of the Boston Comedy Festival, funniest guy in Boston. Big Irish J, Jay Hollingsworth, will be with me at 9 p.m. on my Instagram. Other than that, please subscribe to our YouTube page, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We only got like 7.
Do it.
Just a clip you'll get hit with. And they actually now, our shows are on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah, every show is downloading to YouTube, so you can see it there with a little image of the screen.
You're
and
putting
hear
in
it.
The work, bro.
So do that. Also, go to our Podbean site, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. We have a Patreon page. If you guys enjoy the show, listen to it, go in there, donate $1 or $5, $1 a month, right? That kind of stuff will help us a great deal. We appreciate it. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous. Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter, and follow everything else Dougie Dangerous. How about you?
I'm Jay Guy. Have a good day.
There you go, guys. That's it. Thank God the day's over for us. And for all those of you who have two penises,
God bless you.
Yeah, I was going to say go screw yourself, but never mind. Anyway, guys, thanks for checking us out. Next week, we'll see what happens with Facebook Live. We'll hopefully be back. Take care.
Peace out.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.